Mark's Gospel. It's Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to chapter 3, verse 6. And it's on page 1004 in the Chapel Bibles. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked round at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus.
I, the associate pastor, Jason, well, I've almost got the plan done for the next term, but we're having a problem with September the 6th in the evening. So, like a fool, I said, "Well, I'm available. I shall be back off holiday by the end of that week, so I'll take it." I was also preparing a particular theme at that time, and so I'm passing it on to you tonight, not realizing at that time that I was preparing it for now. But a week ago, I see in the Eastern Daily Press the headlines, I don't know whether you can read them from the back, which says, "Never say never on the traditional day of rest." And they had two pages on the fact that Sunday trading had come in 15 years ago, just a week, and saying some of the good things about it, saying how some of the things have slipped up, etc., etc. What do we think about the Lord's Day? The Lord's Day, or is it? In the passage that was read for us by Rod, we read, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." There's a story told of a man with a young boy and his donkey, and they were walking along the road together. Someone was heard to say, "Why don't one of them ride on the donkey? Surely that's what the donkey is for." And so the man got up on the donkey and started to ride along. Others, seeing that situation, said, "What a selfish man to let this little lad walk along on the road." So the man got off the donkey and put the young lad onto the donkey, and they continued along the road. A little while later, people were saying, "Don't that man look awfully tired walking along? Why on earth don't he ride on the donkey?" So he got up behind the young lad and started to ride along on the donkey. However, others saw both of them riding on the donkey and were very hurt or animal conscious and said, "Well, that poor old donkey with all the weight on, surely they don't ought to both ride on it." Well, apparently, the last thing that they saw of these people going along was that the young lad was now walking. The chap himself was walking also, and he was carrying the donkey on his back. The question is, who do you listen to, particularly for your Christian life and also in respect of the Lord's Day, and how you should listen and what you should do? Do you go for the 21st century in the United Kingdom and what is becoming acceptable in this country? Or do you go to what the Lord is teaching you from his word? Our theme of Mark chapter 2 and chapter 3 is a very important one, because it shows where we can take guidance from. And it's important how we treat the Lord's Day, because Jesus himself treated it as a special day. And really it shows to the world something of how we're different to the world. There's a quotation which will come up on the screen, which I thought was quite interesting and quite relevant. When the buttons click, you'll see it. It says, "Our great-grandparents called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandparents called it the Lord's Day. Our parents called it Sunday. And today we call it the weekend." Isn't that a reflection of how it's gone? Probably in the last 100 years. Maybe less than that. But that's interesting, isn't it? And we need to know how Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, wants us to treat what we call the Lord's Day. Going to those two verses, verses 27 and 28 of Mark chapter 2. George Duncan, who was pastor for many years of St. George's Tron in Glasgow, he was a speaker at Keswick. He was a speaker and chairman of the Filey Christian Holiday Crusades. He also spoke many times for the North Norfolk Crusades, which some of you may have went to in North Norfolk in Gresham Hall. And he says this about it. He says, "Few subjects are surrounded with more controversy and argument than the way in which Christians and others should or should not observe the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day." And he says this, "Few scriptures are more frequently misquoted than the verses we've chosen to head this up, which is verses 27 and 28. Most quote the first verse, 'The Sabbath was made for man,' and we leave it there. But he says the second verse is the most demanding statement, and that's why we leave it out. 'Therefore the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" When at the beginning of the month, as I said at the admin group, I said, well, I'll take it, but I said it's a very controversial subject. But I'm not taking it as a controversial subject. My aim is to encourage you to consider what you think and how you should live on this particular day of the week, and why you should live in a particular way of how you treat the Lord's Day. It was Thomas A. Kempis who said, "Again, the Lord's own day is here, the day to Christian people dear, when Jesus Christ, the church's head, arose and in power and left the dead." I was looking up these two verses of 27 and 28 in Dr. John MacArthur's study Bible. And of these two verses, he says, "God did institute this day for our benefit. However, you notice the Pharisees had turned it into a burden. Jesus claimed that by this he was greater than the Sabbath, and thus he could reject the Pharisees' regulations and restore God's original intention for the day to be a blessing and not a burden." And I think that's the heading that we need to put over the Lord's Day. It's meant to be a blessing and not a burden. But before we actually look at the details individually, I just want to deal with one or two objections that come up frequently on the subject of the Lord's Day. The first one is to say, that when you talk about the Sabbath or the Lord's Day, you're being legalistic. That's one that comes up very, very regularly. There's a new book out just recently. It was reviewed in the Evangelicals Now this last month. And it's a book called Risking the Truth, in which Martin Downs has 20 different contributors to give details of errors and heresies that threaten today's church. One of them, Ian Campbell, from the Isle of Lewis, he says this: whereas before it was given that the law was the believer's rule of life, that is now characterized as legalism. And certainly there is a danger when we look at this subject as well as others that we can go into a legalistic way of looking at it. But you know, all our Christian life, there are things that we make choice of, either to do or not to do, as Christian believers living and witnessing for the Lord. There are choices day by day of how we live, and especially on the Lord's Day. Often people who make the complaint that it's legalistic is that they really do not want to do, or they rather want to do as they want on this day and not follow any of the rules that the Lord may make for them. And that's why verse 28, that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, becomes objectionable. Now we must say straight away in this link, it's not about observing rules that we, as it were, earn points from heaven, but it's rather how we love the Lord and we seek to obey him. So it could be legalistic that we make an objection. Secondly, we could make an objection because we say it's Jewish and therefore not part of our Christian observance nowadays. And there are two points in regard to that. First of all, it's a creation ordinance. God built that into our very existence. In Genesis chapter 2 we read, on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he'd created and made. God says four things about that day. He says he ended his work. Secondly, he rested. Third, he blessed that day. And fourth, he sanctified it, or set it apart as a different day. If you have problems with creation and the 6 days of creation, you'll have a problem with that. You either believe God's word as it is or you don't. And this is God's word, and it's the seventh day, and that's what it says of it. A good while back, I think the beginning of last century, there was an experiment in Russia with horses, and with some working 7 days and some working 6 days. A group of the horses worked 7 days, 6 hours per day. And they worked that for a period, I don't know, a month or two. The second team worked for 6 days, but 7 hours per day. If your mathematics are good, you'll find that that's 42 hours each set of horses worked for the week, each week. Apparently, at the end of the period, the second group, who'd worked for 6 days, were more healthy at the end of those days than the other group, and they'd accomplished more work. From that, you can certainly deduce that a rest day has some advantages, and it has indeed been built into creation. That's the first thing. It's built into creation, and it's way back in Genesis 2. And when you come to the Ten Commandments, some people get worried because all the commandments except that one is repeated in various places in the New Testament. But that one isn't, for some reason, in the New Testament in that way. But Jesus himself, of course, said, I came not to destroy or nullify any of the commandments. And in his summary of them, the first one was to love God with all your heart. And the commandment on the Sabbath was for that, he says in the Exodus 20. Remember, that means it's already there. He's saying, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The usual objection to that, of course, is a misinterpretation, where in the New Testament we read we're not under law, but under grace. All the Ten Commandments are still relevant and still part of God's Word. You don't pick and choose. They're all there. So let's look at these two events in Jesus' life and then see how he deals with them, and then look how he observed the seventh day, the Sabbath, as it was then for him. But before we do that, just one sideline from this particular event and others in the Gospels. And that is, you notice, when the Pharisees and the religious leaders had a problem with the disciples, they went to Jesus and complained and tried to break up the fellowship. When they had a problem with Jesus, they went to the disciples and complained about Jesus as their master, thus trying to disrupt the fellowship between the master and his disciples. There are those in the world and things in the world today which are trying the same thing with us, that our fellowship with the Lord should be disrupted in the same way. So I want us to look at three things this evening. First of all, the controversy over Sabbath work, which is in Mark 2. Secondly, the controversy over Sabbath healing in chapter 3. And then to compare Jesus' own life and example. First of all, the controversy over Sabbath work in verses 23 to 26 of Mark 2. In receiving the commandments for the second time in Exodus 34, we read this bit which has been added. 6 days shall you labor, but on the seventh you shall rest. And then it says this, even during the plowing season and the harvest, you must rest. Interesting that that demand was also added there. Now the problem was that the scribes had to work out what work really was, and the Pharisees were the people who were trying to live out that in detail, believing that by living out these strict rules, they would be accepted by God. Many of those laws were ridiculous, as we've heard over previous weeks. On a Sabbath day, it was worked out just how far you could walk and what weight you could carry while you walked, because if you carried more than that, it would be working, and things like that. I wonder actually why the Pharisees were actually wandering in the cornfields on that particular day, because they wouldn't want to have picked the ears of corn, though the law of Moses allowed you to pick ears of corn and eat them if you were hungry. And obviously it was to that Mosaic law that Jesus would refer, and also to what happened with David when he was in particular need, and how, though it was not lawful for anyone other than the priests to eat the showbread, David had some and gave it to his men who were with him because they were hungry. And Jesus was saying to them, basically, we have needs to be met even on the Lord's Day. But the emphasis from this particular passage, 2 verses 23 to 26, the emphasis is on necessity. what is needed to do on the Lord's Day. Not that everything should be done. We should therefore question ourselves about what is necessary work and how we are supporting what is unnecessary. It may not be what we do, but what others do because we support them. You see, there's much to think about and much to question, and it's good for us to do so. But we need to remember that the day is to be a blessing and not a burden, and that it is to be that for us and for those who would work for us on that day. So there was controversy over Sabbath work, and there was controversy over Sabbath healing in chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6. There are several records of Jesus healing on the Sabbath day. Here we have a man who was needing that healing. In verse 2 it says, they watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. The man needed healing because he could then start working again, which is probably what he wanted to do most of all. But you see, they were only looking at him and looking at the situation so they could accuse or reject Jesus. And Jesus was angry with them. He said to the man who was willing, with a hand, step forward. And he asked that. And when he looked around at them with anger, so his look told all, as you might say. Jesus was angry with them. He knew their thoughts. And they, of course, kept silent when he said, is it lawful to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill it? You see, there were certain things that you were allowed to do on the Sabbath in regard to helping someone who was ill. You could make them comfortable, but you weren't to do any more than that. They had to wait till the next day for any healing or any help in that respect. It's amazing that Jesus wasn't even going to work. He was only going to say a word and the man would be healed. But you see, they were objecting to this thing. And you know, when he makes the man stand up before them, you wonder whether Jesus was trying to seek their compassion, seeing a man who needed help to work again and to live properly. And Jesus goes to the heart of the matter. He says, it's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of doing good or doing evil. And he is saying not to save a life or to not do good on the Sabbath is against God's will. And you know, the extraordinary thing about this particular passage and this vent is that Jesus is seeking to save life on that day. And what do the Pharisees and the leaders, the Herodians, do? They meet on that day to plan his execution, to plan how they could get rid of him. In other words, there's Jesus doing good and they don't like it. And they themselves are plotting evil on that day and think that that is good. That's the irony of it. So you see the controversy over Sabbath work. You see the controversy over Sabbath healing. But finally, compare Jesus' own life and example. Two things, basically. Where do you find Jesus on the Sabbath day? And what was Jesus doing on the Sabbath day? Where he went and what he did. We find him very regularly going into the synagogue. In fact, all the Gospels, I think, say it, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue. He wanted to be with God's people. He wanted to worship God, his Father, and do it with other people. We find he went into houses on the Sabbath day. In Luke 14, we see him even going into the house of a Pharisee on the Sabbath day. So he wanted to go socialize with people and meet with them. We also find that he went where people had a need so that he could meet them, so he could heal them. In John chapter 9, you find him meeting a blind man for healing on the Sabbath day. In John chapter 5, you find him at the pool of Bethesda, healing a lame man there. In this particular passage that we've looked at in Mark 2, you find him out walking. Whether planned to meet that particular man for healing, whether it was time that he spent in fellowship with the disciples, but he was available for people and meeting with people on the Lord's day. That's where you find him. And what was he doing? Well, when he went to the synagogue, he would hear the Old Testament read. At times, he was offered the chance to speak in the synagogue. But the main thing which he was doing was hearing and sharing God's word on the Sabbath. Secondly, he was healing, as we've said, and meeting people's needs, probably encouraging the disciples at the same time. But as you look at Jesus' life, you see that he was treating the day as a different day, and obviously treating it according to God's original intention, which of course he knew all about, being the author of creation. So what is our reaction? You see, it could be like the Pharisees. We read in verse 6, the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians, what a combination, against him, how they might destroy him. You see, they didn't want to listen to Jesus. They didn't want Jesus to have any lordship over them and how they dealt with the Sabbath. But Jesus treated it positively. It was a day to be used well. It was a day to be used for our benefit, not for our pleasure, but for him, our Saviour and our Lord. And that's surely how a day can become a blessing. Someone has said, I heard this many, many years ago, I've no idea where it come from, another one of these anonymous ones, that a Sunday well spent brings a week content. A Sunday well spent brings a week content. You know, we must say that what we do on the Lord's Day is not to gain favour with the Lord, not to build up credit for heaven. Everything we receive of him is by his grace and mercy. But the day and the way we lead the day, as well as the way we lead our own life, is to be a reflection and an expression of our love for the Lord Jesus, the one who gave this day for our benefit. By bringing this to you, I've had to think again through the whole subject of what the Lord gave. And that's good. It's good for us to look again at the Bible and to consider our lifestyle on the Lord's Day in the light of it. I trust you will see it as important as part of our obedience to the Lord of the Sabbath. I hope you recognize that what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we each are ambassadors for Christ. And one of the means of aspect of our lives that are watched is how we treat Sunday, whether it's different from the rest or not. And sometimes we have to make sacrifice because of it. Let me bring in one personal illustration. Only just over a week ago, I was asked why I hadn't become president of the Norfolk Association Bowling for a year. It's quite a job inside or outdoors, and I could have the opportunity of both, and I had to say, well, I don't do it because some of our games are played on a Sunday, and I don't therefore wish to be at those games and playing them. For the indoor session between the end of September and the beginning of April, our previous president had 48 appearances at games, which he had to either officiate at or play in them. And so I would be missing probably most Sundays, at least for one service, if not both. And therefore, it's a sacrifice to say no to that. The same thing comes with my own club, at outdoor club. They've said, why don't you become the club captain? And for the same reason, And the same thing with another association which I'm on the committee for. But there are sacrifices and limitations to what we do as a witness for Christ. A man I knew quite a number of years ago now, who was a preacher in the area around here. He lived on the corner of a road opposite a bus stop. And on a particular Monday morning, a Christian friend of mine was at the bus stop. And while she was there, the woman from the house next to it came out and joined her in the queue. And this woman who lived near said to her, "Oh, that man opposite, doesn't he go to your church or one of your churches? Do you know him? He's a preacher. I believe he's a Christian." And she said, "I saw him go out yesterday in his suit on Sunday morning, but all the rest of the day he was out in his garden." Now, she wasn't a Christian. She'd got no interest in the Christian faith, yet she expected from that man that he treated Sunday different to what she did and different from the world. Whether he was right or wrong is not the question, but the question is, she was looking at the Christian faith through him. And she was virtually saying, "Well, it doesn't make any difference. He leads his life just the same way." So when you consider this day, consider it from the Lord's perspective. And you'll find it's a wonderful day that is obviously meant to be. He created it. He meant it to be a day that is positive, creative, attractive, and a product of his highest good and happiness. It's the Lord's day. May we then positively seek to make this day a blessing and not a burden, and so honour the Lord we love. Amen.